You're listening to Hardwired with Jeff Wickwire. Here's what's coming up in today's edition.
Grumblers is about those expressing discontent. They grumble in secret against Christ. Grumble. Complainers are those who constantly gripe about their lot in life. That's a complainer. Their tongue is like acid, eating away at their possibilities of being content. They complain all the time. That buried the wilderness wanderers complaining. Their walk or their lifestyle is aimed at fulfilling their own lust. They live to gratify their lower nature.
Are you feeling stuck in your circumstances? Are you getting more and more frustrated by life's problems? Today, instead of dwelling on complaints about life and its challenges, Pastor Jeff urges you to redirect your focus towards surrendering your heart to the Lord. Complaining perpetuates negativity, but entrusting your concerns to God brings relief and peace. Laying your troubles before the Lord will lighten your spirit and comfort you. Embrace a mindset of gratitude and trust in God's mercy. Well, let's join Pastor Jeff in the book of Jude as he continues his message, Judgment on Apostates.
They even go so far as to pass themselves off as pastors or shepherds of the flock. But their goal is to undermine and destroy the faith once delivered to the saints, because they don't hold to that. They don't hold to the faith once delivered to the saints. No, that's not what they're about. Jude says, in summary, they are confident imposters, deceivers of the first order. Remember what Paul said, angels of light. They come to you as a light bearer, you know, somebody that you can trust. But if you don't know the word of God, they're a rock underneath the water, and the ship of your faith can strike it and be in real trouble. Now, next, Jude uses four really striking metaphors to describe them. His metaphors are going to explain why the followers of these apostates always end up, listen carefully to me, they end up disappointed, disillusioned, and distressed. Verse 12, the second half, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds. What would you think about dark rain clouds gathering overhead? Wind starts to blow. You start thinking, all right, we're going to get the creeks filled back up again, the lakes filled back, the ponds filled again, and not one drop falls out of those clouds. And you're looking and you're looking. The starving animals are looking, the thirsty animals. We need water, we need water, but it never comes. He says, that's your picture of the false teaching apostates. They promise you water, but there's no water, they don't deliver. You end up disappointed, disillusioned, and distressed when you live out what they've taught and it doesn't deliver. See, if I teach you rightly the word of God, it's going to deliver every time. My word will do. God says it'll do what it's sent forth to accomplish. It'll do. It'll act. It'll come through because it's true. But if I teach you fake stuff and you live on it, and you practice it and it doesn't deliver, then here's what you do. You go, well, maybe Christianity is not real. Maybe I'm just messing around on the wrong thing. Maybe I need to become a Buddhist or something else. Okay? That's the problem. So Jude says that while to others the false teachers appear to be clouds bringing rain of spiritual refreshing. Oh, they got a great revelation, a new revelation. They got it going on. They're full of charisma. I love them. They soon discover the apostates bring no rain. Their message is bereft of truth, and it's bereft of God's blessing. But it takes time for you and I to find that out. In the meantime, they got your money. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
I'm going to let that land all on its own, and I'm going to go on now. Here's the deal. They are a sham. Driven, says Jude, by uncertain winds. They don't know where they're not stable. They're not anchored in spiritual stability. Their message never saves, satisfies, or sanctifies. It deceives, disillusions, and destroys. Now, the next metaphor he uses is late autumn trees. Boy, these are so graphic. Late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. So here's the apostates now. They don't deliver. And here's what they are. The expression without fruit Or as the King James says, whose fruit withereth, refers to trees that bear no fruit at the time when fruit is in season. They don't deliver. When they should manifest the blessing of fruitfulness, there's nothing. This is why Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits or the lack thereof. Jude concurs. They are also twice dead. Not only are they born spiritually dead, like all of us, we're all born spiritually dead. We need to be born again. They're born, but they die twice. When they're offered eternal life through Jesus Christ, they spurn it. They're twice dead. Jude says they'll be plucked up by the roots. There's no hope for them. They're going to be plucked up by the roots. They're not only dead, but they're doomed. Remember Jesus' words, every plant my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Jude puts it, plucked up by the roots. There's a day of judgment coming, everybody. There is a day of judgment coming. Now, next comes a metaphor that is also very graphic. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. How many of you get the idea that Jude is not a fan of these people? You get the idea, right? Now, I'm just reading to you the Bible. This is the Bible. Raging waves of the sea. You know what it means? They're dangerous. Raging waves leave sunken ships in their wake. Raging waves. Raging waves destroy whole towns. We've seen whole towns destroyed by raging waves in a bad storm, hurricane. Terrible storms. Apostates are dangerous like raging waves. I have seen the raging waves of false teaching sweep across churches and ruin them. I have. I've been around long enough to see that. And I've seen raging waves of false prophets, false teaching, sweep across the whole country and leave all kinds of devastation in its wake. They foam out their own shame, Jude says. The word he uses occurs only here in the whole Bible, and it comes from a root word meaning to foam at the mouth like a rabid dog. They foam at the mouth like a rabid dog, spiritually speaking. They're teaching rabid stuff. Can y'all take one more metaphor? All right, here we go. Now we come to the last one. Wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Wandering stars. Now this talks about the eternal doom of the apostate. And I don't get anything out of saying that. I don't get anything out of seeing anybody go to eternal doom. That's why we witness all the time and offer the true gospel of Christ all the time, because it alone can save you. Jesus saves through that gospel. But it's talking about the eternal doom of the apostate. He likens them to wandering stars. Now, in the natural, all stars move, all of them. Our own sun is a moving star. You know our sun is moving? Now, I'm not going to tell you that it revolves around the earth. I'm not going there. So don't let me scare you there. But here's the thing. Our sun is moving. It's located around. Now, here's some numbers that will blow your mind. Our sun is located about 30,000 light years from the center of the Milky Way galaxy. It is one of a cluster of some 100 billion stars that inhabit this corner of space. Staggering. You know what's more staggering? God's named them all. How do you name them all? But God's named them all. So catch this, everybody. A little bit of space facts here. The whole galaxy, some 600 million billion miles of stars. I'm going to say it again. 600 million billion miles of stars. I got to say that one more time. 600 million billion miles of stars are revolving around a center. And although it's traveling through space at an inconceivable speed, our sun will complete its own orbit about every 200 million years. make you feel about this big? You thought you were important. Did you hear that? Now watch this. When God created the stars, he appointed their courses. How great is our God? Okay? 600 million billion miles of stars just in our corner of the universe that we know anything about. He appointed them, gave them their names, and counted them, says Psalms 147, verse 4. He counted them. And he knows the hairs on your head, when you were born, when you're going to die, what you're thinking, what you're doing, how you're living, what you believe, what you don't believe, and how he intends to use you for his glory. It's just awesome. So much so, David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You think? The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork, God's handiwork. You think all of that came to pass from a big bang? No. And the Bible says, those stars are for signs and for season. But Jude isn't concerned about those stars. They are orderly stars, obeying God's decrees as they swing on their ordained way around his throne. Jude's interested in what he calls the wandering stars. The apostates are like wandering stars with no ordered course. They are not in subjection to the God of creation. They are out of order. They are in rebellion. They are against him and going their own way. They're wandering stars. They're more like shooting stars that appear briefly and brightly in the night sky and quickly disappear into the black darkness of space. And total darkness is going to be their doom. Now, next, Jude is given a flash of revelation by the Holy Spirit, now found anywhere else in the Bible. You won't get this anywhere else in Scripture. Verse 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, these apostates, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Verse 14, again, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these apostates. And he said, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, meaning what? He's coming to judge. Now, let me quickly mention Enoch. Enoch was a prophet in biblical times. He was the seventh descendant of Adam. He was way back in the ancient garden, Enoch. So he's very close to the beginning of time as we know it, Enoch. He named his son Methuselah, whose name means when he dies, it shall come. Methuselah, when he dies, it shall come. Methuselah was the human hourglass of God. As each birthday of his 969, the oldest living man in the history of the world, 969 years, as every birthday went by, the judgment of the great flood grew nearer. Because when he was named Methuselah, God was saying, when he dies, it, my judgment, the great flood will come. When he dies, it shall come. This same Enoch, the father of Methuselah, saw the coming of the Lord thousands of years before the event. And it points to the rapture of the church happening prior to this. Before the Lord comes with his saints, he will come for his saints. Amen. All right. And Enoch predicts why he's coming. This really matters. Man, I kind of wish I could be on ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, and all the rest and say what I'm about to say to warn them in love of what is coming. To warn them in love. Enoch predicts, why is Jesus coming back with his saints? To execute judgment on all. Verse 15, first half of 15. He's coming to judge the world. I want everybody to say with me, Jesus is coming to judge the world. Now, that's not real popular here these days, is it? We want somebody telling us God's going to make us rich and give us big houses and we can have whatever we say and use little formulas and all of this. But let's get back to what the Bible really teaches and preaches, that there is a judgment coming. And why are we so keen on preaching the gospel? Because there's a judgment coming, all right? And Enoch says, the Lord's going to return to judge the world. He's coming to judge the whole world. By the way, we're talking about Jesus here. Jesus is going to be the judge. He's the one sitting on the great white throne. He will be the judge. He told his disciples, God has committed all judgment to his son. That includes several judgments, starting with the church at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3, where our works will be tried, and we get rewards or not for how we've lived our life as Christians. But then at his second coming, he's going to be judged. He will judge the nations when he returns in the second advent. Matthew 25, 31 to 46, you can read it. This judgment is going to take place in the Valley of Jehoshaphat in Jerusalem, and it's going to determine who will be allowed to enter the millennial kingdom. He's going to judge all the nations. All the nations are going to be called before Jesus. And he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are going to go into the millennium. The goats, not so much. And this is the judgment to which the apostates are going to be summoned when Christ returns to judge the nations. And look at one reason why Jesus returns. This verse that I'm about to read is so sobering to me. So watch what he says. Jude says, here's why he's coming, to convict all who are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way. And listen to this, and of all the harsh things ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jesus is going to come and set things straight. Catch that? To convict the ungodly of all the deeds they did that were ungodly, that they committed in an ungodly fashion, and of all the harsh things they said about him. Why is that sobering to me? Well, the word ungodly is from a Greek word, and one of the meanings is to act disrespectfully or irreverently toward what should be regarded as sacred. That's one of the meanings of ungodly. The apostates and the ungodly of our time and times past care nothing for what is sacred. Have you noticed that people don't care about the sacred anymore? How the sacred is just fading away. People have no respect. I mean, they're walking into churches and blowing people away. They're walking into churches and just shooting. They're walking into synagogues and churches just shooting people. They have no sense of what is sacred. They mock the word. They mock Christ. They have no sense. They've lost their sense of, see, to me, there is the natural and there is the sacred. There are things that you should treat extra carefully and with highest of respect because it's sacred. It's attached to God. Okay? So, this building, it's just, you know, metal, stone, tile. But because of what it's used for, to me, it's not just a normal building. Now, the building's not going to save you. But I'm saying there should be a respect when people gather together and God is going to be present. Okay? But that sense of sacred. This is why Jesus, they will stomp on and despise what is precious to God. That's why Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Because what will they do? They will trample them under their feet and turn and trample you. In other words, they have no respect for the precious, sacred things in your life. Okay? The ungodly cannot appreciate the value of what is of God. They'll abuse it because they have no sense of what is sacred. I didn't when I was lost. The person of Christ, the truth of Scripture, the work of the Holy Spirit, the blood-bought church, all those things are sacred. That Bible is sacred to me. There's not another book on the planet that I consider anywhere near that Bible. That Bible is sacred to me, okay? I treat that Bible, I open up that Bible every single day and I say, God, thank you for the Holy Word, because nothing is going to wash my mind. Nothing is going to change my life. Nothing is going to build my faith. Nothing's going to teach me the truth about God and all things that matter like the Bible, because it is the God-breathed Word. So it's sacred to me, right? So here's what's going to happen, like a dreaded movie they don't want to see. Jesus will bring before the eyes of the apostates a replay of all of their ungodly deeds, ungodly decisions, and all the things they said against him. It'll be played back in living technicolor. All the harsh things they spoke about Christ, which is happening more and more and more and more in our mass media. Sacred things, holy things, Christ himself routinely mocked and maligned. I'm seeing it more and more. In 2007, one so-called comedian, a woman, received an Emmy Award, made a vile, blasphemous reference to Jesus Christ, cursed him on national television, and then held up the Emmy statue and said the Emmy statue was her God. That's exactly what happened. Rather than howling in protest, the Emmy audience laughed and applauded. Not me. Listen, I'm going to pray for you if you mock Christ, because if you don't repent, he's going to come back one day and you're going to answer for the harsh things you spoke about him. If he hadn't saved me, I would have done the same thing. But thank God for amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me. We're about to close. I know this is sobering, but this is the truth. Why do we preach the gospel all the time? This is why. Because there's a day of judgment coming, and it's going to be ferocious. Jude sums up the disgust and revulsion at the words and deeds of the apostates. He says in verse 16, they are grumblers, they are complainers, and they walk according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to get their advantage. Grumblers is about those expressing discontent. They grumble in secret against Christ. Grumble. Complainers are those who constantly gripe about their lot in life. That's a complainer. Their tongue is like acid, eating away at their possibilities of being content. They complain all the time. That buried the wilderness wanderers complaining. Their walk or their lifestyle is aimed at fulfilling their own lust. They live to gratify their lower nature. That's what they live for. Now, Jude is telling us this. This isn't me. Jude is telling us this. They talk big, great swelling words, but in truth, they undermine all sound teaching. Their goal is to gain the admiration of others. They want to be somebody. It's all about them, not Christ. That's why you want to know somebody's really preaching the Word of God. If you're listening to somebody and all you hear about is me, myself, and I, and they're only talking about themselves all the time, look for the exit door. Because somebody preaching the Word is going to preach the Word, and they're going to preach Christ, and they're going to lift him up, and even to their own hurt. Jude is finished with his impassioned exposure of apostasy in the church. And next time, he's going to turn his attention to you and me, and it begins with these words. But you, beloved, he said, I've said all this about the apostates, but now let me talk to you, beloved, because I wasn't talking about the beloved of Jesus, the bride of Christ, when I was talking about them.
Amidst the encroaching darkness of our world, it's never been more essential to ward off false prophets and deceptive teachers. In today's message, Pastor Jeff reminded you that as sin grows, you must stand firm by consistently seeking the guiding light of God's Word. As you navigate through the dense forest of this world, false teachings are like misleading trails that will always veer you off the right path. Keep the compass of God's Word close by.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jeff Wickwire here from Hardwired, heard on this station. I'm so thrilled to share our latest gift of the month with you, the Stand Strong Men's Paperback Journal. This beautiful journal is a powerful way to keep track of what God speaks to you from day to day. For any donation of over $25, this journal will be yours. Just visit hardwired.org today, click Donate Now, and make your donation to receive this inspiring journal. Thank you for all your support of Hardwired.
The evidence of intelligent design is all around us. Whether it's the countless stars in the sky, the hairs on your head, or the relentless waves of the ocean, it's indisputable that there's a creator behind all of this beauty. Next time on Hardwired, Pastor Jeff shares that just as these cosmic wonders are beyond comprehension, so is the design of your life. You're not here by chance. God is the divine orchestrator of one who put the breath in your lungs. There's more Pastor Jeff has to share from the book of Jude, so be sure to join us again. If you missed any part of today's teaching, you can find it online at hardwired.org. We're happy we could be part of your day today, and we pray today's edition of Hardwired has blessed you.